The recordings have now started. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome everybody to the fifth call of the Cross-Community Working Group on ICANN Accountability. My name is Thomas Rickert, and Mathieu Weil and Leon Sanchez, the other co-chairs, as well as myself, would like to wish you a happy new year. And hopefully this is going to be a fruitful year and that we're going to have a very productive time together. I think we've achieved quite a bit in the short time that we've been working together, so we're really looking forward to working with you more. I would like to keep this welcome very short in terms of roll calls. I think we should apply usual practice that we collect membership from the Adobe Connect room. So I would like those that are just on the audio line to please speak up so that we can record them as participating in this call.
Carl Schoenander.
Thank you, Burr.
Sébastien Bachelet.
Thank you. Anybody else? Who was that? Who was the call? After Becky? Olivier, welcome. Any more attendees on the audio line only? No, if that's not the case, then we can record that as the colleagues on the call. And then I'd like to ask you whether there are any updates to statements of interest. And I'm hearing none, nor do I read any in the chat. And with that, we can move to the second agenda item, which is the discussion on the Workstream 1, Workstream 2 demarcation. And with that, and for that, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Leon.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Leon Sanchez. We've been discussing the subject of Workstream 1, Workstream 2.
Thank you.
There's many calls. And, well, there's been a recap on the different proposals and the definitions that have been collected through the list and through our different calls. And Matthew sent out an email yesterday making a recap about the different definitions within Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. Well, we would like to review these definitions and the work that's been done in order to have a more clear instance before we get to our face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt. And as we all know, the problem statement from our charter considers that the NTIA has stressed that it's expecting a community consensus regarding the transition, and we need to have some accountability. Can you all hear me well?
Could be a bit louder.
Yes, you sound fine.
No. Okay, I'll try to speak up. Is this way better?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We have to put, of course, different accountability mechanisms to make our proposals acceptable to the NTIA in order for to have a successful work of our working group. Within the discussions, we have allocated Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, being Workstream 1 focused on mechanisms enhancing ICANN accountability that must be in place or committed to within the time frame of the IANA stewardship transition, and Workstream 2 focused on addressing accountability topics for which a timeline for developing solutions and full implementation may extend beyond that IANA stewardship transition. So far, there's been, as I said, a lot of work done within this area, and some of the recap that definitions that Matthew sent yesterday with regards to Workstream 1, Workstream 2 are, for example, in Workstream 1 is designated for accountability mechanisms that must be in place or firmly committed to before IANA transition occurs. all of the consensus items could be in Wordstream 2, provided there are mechanisms in Wordstream 1 adequate to for force implementation of Wordstream 2 items, despite resistance from ICANN management and board. So one of the things we would like to do on this call is, of course, try to fine-tune this definition and listen to the comments that you may have. We have also had a comment from Paul Rosenzweig regarding the Wordstream 0, which would be, of course, a prerequisite for all Wordstream 1 measures. And we have a recap here that a comment from Paul Rosenzweig says, as a result, I think the part of what we should be doing in the long run is focusing on the core critical 3 to 5 items that are absolutely essential to ensuring accountability. In short, I think there is actually a subcategory of Wordstream 1, which I call Wordstream 0, for want of a better term, that will be fundamental red lines for the community. So now I would like to concentrate on having comments regarding Wordstream 0, because this is one subject we haven't been able to widely discuss on our previous calls. So I would like to, of course, open the floor for comments with regards to Wordstream 1, Wordstream 2, and Wordstream 0 right now. So while I open the floor for comments. Malcolm Huddy, I see you have your hand up.
Thank you.
So please go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you. Well, very briefly, I'd like to suggest that the two most core accountability questions are ensuring that the board is faithful to its own bylaws, and that's most fundamental because everything else is built upon that. If you can't ensure that, then anything else you build is really built on sand. And the second one is remaining faithful to the purpose and mission of ICANN, and in other words, not acting what lawyers call ultra vires or outside its mission, because if you're able to redefine the mission to expand into new areas in mission creep generally, then anything else that we put in place to try to hold to the board to account would amount to could be dealt with by simply saying, well, it is now part of our purpose to achieve this new goal. So I'd say they're more fundamental than really anything else. If you have those in place strongly, then the other things that we build, we can have confidence in. If you don't have those in place, nothing else we do, we can have confidence will have any effect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Malcolm. This is Leon Sanchez again. One thing I would like to highlight is that the word firmly is, well, not really well-defined in our charter, so that's something we will have to work on as well. And now I'd like to give the floor to Steve Del Viego, which I see has his hand up. So, Steve, please go ahead.
Thank you, Leon. In the chat, I pasted some of what Matthew put in his email yesterday. This is the email regarding Workstream 1 and 2. Then, Leon, you're leading us through that, but it would be great if staff could display the contents of Matthew's email in the Adobe chat for those who may not have it at their elbow. That would be convenient. This is, Grace, this is for you. This is the one that Matthew just sent yesterday. He lays out Workstream 1 and 2, Workstream 0, and he concludes with what I just put into the chat, where at the very end, Matthew proposed that Workstream 1 mechanisms are those that when in place or committed to would provide the community with confidence that any accountability mechanism that would further enhance ICANN's accountability would be implemented if it had consensus support from the community, even if it were to encounter ICANN management resistance or if it were against the interests of ICANN as a corporate entity. And I, for one, as a rapporteur for Work Area 2, would embrace Matthew's proposal as a variant or an improvement on the distinctions between Workstream 1 and 2 that our Work Area 2 had put forth over the last 5 weeks. And I think that's a fair recap that you came up with. I do think it begs the question, though, of what is it that needs to be in number 1? What is it that has to be in Workstream 1? And this is some of what Paul Rosenzweig was getting at when he said, think of it as Workstream 0. because what are the essential elements that we have to get before the transition occurs? And when I say have to get, it could be committed to, if it was firmly committed to in a way that it could not be backtracked. But we still have to confront how to use the leverage that is presented to us as a result of NTIA's transition of the IANA contract in order to get accountability mechanisms in work stream one. The distinction that Matthew's proposed between one and two, I think, is very good. And I'm agreeing with the chat where Bruce Tonkin also thinks that it looks as well. So that's fine. And yet, figuring out what has to be in one is the same conversation that we have to have in addressing what should be in work stream zero. I don't really think it helps us to make a distinction between zero and one. Think of work stream one as things that we would need to get firmly committed or completed prior to the transition of IANA, and everything else could fall into work stream two under the definition that Matthew's proposed here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. I see Thomas Rickard with his hand up. Could you please go ahead and take the floor, Thomas?
Yes, thank you very much, Leon. I was wondering whether we could further enshrine this by getting back to the notion of some sort of oversight mechanism for board decisions. Because what I think, and I think we'll get back to that discussion again when we during our call later, I think there are three main topics that at least I thought I've heard participants of this group say, and also others, and that is, number one, that the ICANN board needs to work by the bylaws, that there needs to be a possibility to overrule the ICANN board if the community so wishes, or if there's an urging need by the community to do so. And the third topic would be the potential dismissal of one or multiple board members. And I think this definition that Mathieu put up puts that in general terms, but I'd very much like to get some feedback whether these three themes that I mentioned would actually be those that the attendees of this call would also prioritize. Because I think if you put that into work stream one, then everything else could subsequently be dealt with, because the community would then have a mechanism to overrule, if need be, the board in case the board doesn't do as it should.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I see Alan Greenberg on the line. He's with his hand up. So please, Alan, would you go ahead and take the floor?
Thank you very much. I actually like Thomas's words somewhat better than those in the document, and I'll explain why. The last statement in the document, for instance, in the excerpt that was put online, was that the community feels something should be done instead of something which the board felt is in the interest of the ICANN, the organization. Well, ultimately, it is in the interest of the community that ICANN exists. I think we have that as a premise, or we wouldn't likely be here. Therefore, something which is in the interest of ICANN, to the extent that if ICANN would go bankrupt or cease to exist because of some entity, is of interest to the community. And these things are not black and white. They're certainly not simple relationships. And I think we need to put something in our words to make sure that we're not presuming a black and white situation where in fact there are likely to be subtle shades of gray in between them. So it's just a caution as we go forward to make sure that we're looking at a real world solution, not one that works in our mind where things are cut and dried. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. I see still the Rianco with his hand up, so please go ahead and take the floor.
Thank you. Thomas, you summarized what you thought were three elements that emerged in the discussion, and I wanted to clarify that all three of those elements were reflected in the very first inventory we published for Work Area 2. Those are all three elements that were proposed to be in Work Stream 1. There are some other things that made their way into one because people on our work team asked for them to be in one. But it's totally appropriate to have the debate about what really has to be there in Workstream One. And all I wanted to do was to clarify for everyone on the call, since a lot of people are just getting up to speed, that all three of the elements that you mentioned, Salman, have been there for 5 weeks, and they're in the table. And the table for Work Area 2, which was recently turned into a viewable HTML document, I put the link to it in the chat just now for those of you who wanted to click over to it. But the three I'm speaking of are this notion of holding ICANN to its bylaws, an independent review mechanism composed of community members, and I believe you had another one in there with respect to filling the board, some portion of the board, if the community had a desire to do so. And so what Work Area 2 did was to put together a specific list of mechanisms that have emerged from public comments over the last several months. The three you mentioned are already in there. But there are some others that deserve consideration in Workstream 1. It would take a big part of this call and perhaps a big part of the face-to-face to go through those two pages of Work Area 2 inventory and try to gain consensus on which of them must be committed to in Workstream 1. But I welcome that exercise. It's probably something we're about ready to start. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. So we have no more people in the queue. I see Thomas. I see Thomas has raised his hand. So please, Thomas, could you go ahead and take the floor?
Thank you, Leon, and thanks for the opportunity to speak again. I guess what might do the trick is actually using the definition that Mathieu put in his email, because I think it's good to have a clarifying general statement. Because what I gave were sort of examples of what is needed first. And to respond to Steve, the idea was exactly what you alluded to in your last statement, i.e. Looking at the inventory for Workstream 1, and because I think that within Workstream 1, there's clearly room for those items that are of highest priority and those that can be put into Workstream 2 if certain measures are being taken in Workstream 1. But as the task for Work Area 2 was to establish an inventory of all the asks that have been put forward over the last couple of months, those that were making those requests to have certain items in Workstream 1, i.e. prior to the transition, did not know what the whole inventory would look like. So I think we should, for the sake of keeping things straightforward and simple and for being able to orderly sequence the action items, we should be looking at exactly what we're doing now, i.e. having a general definition along the lines of what Mathieu put out, and then maybe flesh out the priority issues that we want to see be dealt with first and put the rest into Workstream 2. So that's just for clarification purpose.
Thank you very much for this, Thomas. So, following what you just said, would there be any suggestions as to changing the wording that's been put up? I would like to also hear about points of view and concerns on how could we improve this wording that has been put forward in order to address the different concerns that we've been hearing through the call right now. So, could you please let us know which wording would be the adequate to address these concerns? Alan, I see you have your hand up. Could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much. Sam Eisner put some words in the chat in an attempt to address what I said, and I agree with the intent, but again, I'm flagging the my concern that we get our words right, and I don't think that one is quite right. For instance, and it's been often mentioned that ICANN is lawsuit adverse, that we will do anything to make sure we don't get lawsuits because lawsuits ultimately could put the overall corporation at risk. And somewhere there's the dividing line that, yes, you can't be afraid of every lawsuit, but you don't want to do anything really stupid. And I don't know how to put that into polite words, but somehow I think going forward we're going to have to look at that.
Excellent, Tom. So could you please at some point? Yes.
I'm sorry, this is Becky. I'm not in in the Adobe, so I can't raise my hand. But
Go ahead, Becky.
I just want to follow up on that last comment, which I think is really critical. Part of the problem that we have is that the stakes for lawsuits are really high. Both, it's very hard for the community to find mechanisms other than lawsuits to really resolve disputes, and the manner in which they come up in the sort of U.S. judicial system can be very high stakes as well. And so, one of the critical issues to me is finding a practical dispute resolution mechanism that provides, that is proportional to the stakes. And I mean proportional in terms of the difficulty for people to use it is reasonably set in a way that I don't think it is right now, and the consequences for ICANN are also reasonably set.
Thank you very much for this comment, Becky. So just following up on what Alan said, it would be very useful, Alan, if you could just provide us with some example concrete wording that you would like to see put in the document. So maybe an action item for us would be to make a recap on the mailing list by us co-chairs and send it back to review for approval before our next meeting. And we would very much like to add this wording that you would suggest, Alan, to this recap. So, I'll contact you, office, to get this wording straight. So I see Alan Greenberg raising his hand. Please go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have magic words right now, but I know it's something we have to think about as we come up with the words. So I will reluctantly turn down the offer to let me draft something good, perfect, and simply leave my warning there as something we need to think about.
Excellent. Well, then we'll have to work on that together. I would like to just see a call for any further comments on Workstream 1, Workstream 2. I see nobody raising their hand, so maybe we can go ahead to the next agenda item, which would be definition of scoping, and we'll turn back to Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Leon. The first item shows that we had a good first discussion on a substantial proposal, really, I really commend the Work Area 2 group for really provided a substance for this discussion, and probably we'll come back to this on one of our next upcoming meetings to make sure we share this view, but I think it was a valuable discussion. And we have provided as well as co-chairs a document that is intended to address some of the scoping issues that we have for our group to make sure we all speak with the same words and speak of the same things when using those words. And the document that I shared on the list yesterday is intended to share those definitions, clarify what the issues we're talking about, and be sort of a baseline reference that we can use in as our work moves forward. There are several sections. I will scroll through the document for those of you in the Adobe room. The first section is related to the problem statement. It's basically a copy and paste from the chart format charter. and reminds that we have to, and our goal is to enhance ICANN's accountability. Then we have, Then we have a section where we try to go a little deeper into the definition of what stakeholders should ICANN be accountable to. Our charter provides a generic definition of stakeholders, and we have tried to provide examples about what directly affected stakeholders are, and indirectly affected stakeholders or parties that affect ICANN are also stakeholders, and we try to provide examples of parties affecting ICANN directly. I'm scrolling down, parties affecting ICANN indirectly. So this is really for example purposes and making sure we speak of the same aspects. Then we have a section regarding the definition of accountability itself. Our charter is based on the Net Mondial definition of accountability, so the existence of mechanisms for independent checks and balances as well as for review and redress. This means we have to define what check and balances are and provide examples, what review mechanisms are about, what redress means, and also, and this is a section we've not discussed that much yet, what independence is about. There was two suggestions. One is the independence of the individuals participating in the process, and another one is the independence of the mechanisms themselves vis-à-vis one another. And finally, we have the question that was raised by Professor Schalter in London. What is the purpose of ICANN's accountability? And we have detailed two different purposes. One is the compliance purpose. So ICANN should be accountable to complying with its own rules and processes. We've discussed this earlier regarding the board being compliant to the bylaws, for instance. And another one is to be accountable to achieving certain levels of performance. And of course, in the IANA context, this is of particular importance. Finally, the document is providing a very, very short recap of our discussions regarding public interest and calling for a clearer definition in the ICANN context of what this would mean, but also acknowledging that there might be different views on the matter. So I want to highlight before opening the floor to comment that this is really a document to make sure we have we are sharing the same perspective on the words we're using. There is the call will be for comments, proposed edits, clarifications that are needed, especially regarding the definitions, which we really encourage you to read with attention. I want to stress that the examples that we provide, there is no ambition to be comprehensive in the list. They are provided to for clarity. And of course, there is the fact that they are mentioned is in no way an indication of the importance of the topic, of the order, or of the accountability mechanism. And therefore, I think I insist that we should not overinterpret the fact that something is brought up as an example as meaning that we will address this in the course of our work. It's just to make sure we speak of the same things. That's all for my introduction of this document, and I would like to turn now to the short queue that is forming, and Tijani first for comments.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. Tijani speaking. First of all, I would like to thank you for this document. The definitions are very important for our work, and I think that putting them on the paper is and summarizing them is very very helpful for our work. I have very small remarks, but one important remark that I want to stress here. You said that there is only two purposes of ICANN accountability, and you said that the public interest, the acting in the public interest, is not didn't have enough support in the group. That's why you didn't mention it in the list. I think this is something that we have to discuss, and perhaps I didn't feel that there is not support for it. We didn't discuss it sufficiently, if you want. And I do think that one of the purposes of the ICANN accountability must be...
So I would... I can now continue to be remain on the line or not?
I am speaking.
Yabush, we can hear you, and you're online.
Yes, I can hear you, but unfortunately, good afternoon, and all good morning to the others. Unfortunately, I could not be connected to Adobe Connect. It says that this website has been removed or is not available. I can't do anything, but that might be a bug between here and the connection line, and I don't want to waste your time talking about that. So I'm just listening. If I want to talk, I would request you saying that I need to talk. That's all. I can't raise the hand.
Thank you, Kavus, and welcome to the call, and hopefully you can participate later on if you want
thank
to
you.
Raise your hand.
Thank you very much.
Make a mention of
it. Thank you.
Tijani speaking.
Yes. Yes, but Gavus, I was speaking. Anyway. So I think that we can identify four purposes for ICANN accountability: complying with its own rules and process. Achieving certain levels of performance, as well as security. Complying with the applicable legislation and jurisdictions where it is operating, and the last one is acting in the public interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I think this is really an area of discussion that we will need to have, and it's perfectly legitimate. Just to clarify the intent that was behind the conclusion on public interest, it was more the impression that, and it's open for discussion, that public interest being difficult to define, it would be difficult to hold ICANN or any organization accountable to something that has various interpretations. And that is why I was suggesting that it was not a concept that was yet mature enough to hold ICANN strictly accountable to. But it's open for discussion, and your question is perfectly legitimate. Steve, you're next on the line.
Thank you for the chairs for preparing the problem statement. I wanted to address item four in your problem statement, which is the purpose of ICANN's accountability. First, to Tijani, there was an extensive list discussion after our first call, Tijani, about the definition of public interest. I started it off with a very simple proposal. I put it into the chat. It is that public interest for ICANN is really just the availability and integrity of registrations and resolution. That's all that the DNS can possibly affect. And expectedly, lots of folks had other ideas about ways to expand the definition. And we had a lively discussion on it, but really no conclusion. And you're seeing some of that in the chat right now. So I don't think it's something we'll resolve on this call. But Tijani, I just wanted to be sure you understood. It is something we have attempted to discuss a couple of times, and we'll have to revisit it. Now, with respect to what the chairs came up with on the purpose of accountability, I believe that we would be remiss if we tried to assume that there was a static purpose, and that you can statically define, as you did in 4A, that ICANN is accountable to comply with its own rules and processes. That goes without saying that they have to follow the rules, but we have to acknowledge that over time, the owners of ICANN may define what its rules and processes are. It might even redefine 5 years from today what the public interest really means for purposes of ICANN. And what's been missing for the last 10 years is that the owners of ICANN, that is to say us, the internet community ICANN was created for, we have no way of imposing changes that the board resists. In other words, we could come up with a bylaws change. We could come up with a definition of public interest, Tijani, and show complete support for that definition from the community and still have the board and management reject it, or have the board and management choose to interpret or implement it against the will of the community. So what is needed is a dynamic mechanism so that if there was bottom-up consensus support for some purpose of accountability that we haven't thought of in this work group, that there ought to be a way to force that through in the adoption of ICANN over the objections of ICANN's management and board. So there's a unifying theme here, and that our goal isn't to define for all time, forever, what it is ICANN has to do, but to define mechanisms that will hold ICANN accountable to the community it was designed to serve. So that's why it's better for us to focus on mechanisms we can design as opposed to the actual black and white words of what we think accountability is today. Thanks.
This is Becky. I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Becky. You'll be right after Avery. Thank you, Steve, for your comment. I think we will have to find a way to introduce this dynamic nature of the rules and bylaws, for instance, into the definition. It's a very valuable feedback. Alan, you are next.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at the I won't say definition, but the list of indirectly affected parties. That pretty well comes down to everyone in the world and every entity in the world, which I in general support, and I think that's a good thing. But I'm asking perhaps a devil's advocate question of, do different parties have are deemed to be affected only by some of the policies, or is that is the intent that if you're an affected policy, you can comment and therefore complain or whatever the process will be on any of the policies? In other words, are there subsets, or is this are they all lumped together in one group? I'm asking what the intent is in setting up this list.
I think the intent is really to, first of all, identify them, and then use this kind of list to ensure when we define a specific mechanisms who we think would, for instance, stand ground to trigger a review or redress process, or whether our mechanisms actually cover the expectations both of directly affected parties and indirectly affected parties. So it's not meant yet to define that, but just give us a common grid of analysis of whether our scenarios, mechanisms are addressing the needs of the whole community and so on. I think it's so it's a really a first step, and any input we can bring into this document or at a later stage regarding substantive differences between the stakeholders, I think might be useful later on.
Thank you.
I have now Avery, and then it's going to be Becky. Avery.
Thank you. This is Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard. Without in any way, you know, speaking contrary to Steve's reference to mechanisms, I just want to make sure that in doing this, we kept in our minds the requirements that ICANN and the AOC had already agreed to, and just want to read two lines of 9.1, which is ensuring accountability, transparency, and the interests of global internet users. ICANN commits to maintain and improve robust mechanisms for public input, accountability, and transparency so as to ensure that the reflect the public interest and be accountable to all stakeholders. And then goes on to speak of how. And I just wanted to bring that up and sort of caution or basically just indicate concern about presenting an accountability picture that doesn't include those elements from the AOC. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. This is a very good point, and I want to stress that what we tried to do in this document was to recap our understanding of where there was arguments that were exchanged on the list at this stage, and yours is absolutely essential. We will certainly have to work on this section to make sure we incorporate all the existing requirements, including the AOC, on public interest in an appropriate manner and in a manner that is that everyone in the group, that we can get consensus to on at the end of the day. And so we'll certainly have to work with you and others on the list to improve the document on that aspect. Next is Becky. Please, Becky.
Yes. I just wanted to follow up on Steve's comments about sort of evolution and not, picking mechanisms that are fixed for all time. That's a concept that, in general, I agree with, but I have a great deal of concern about the notion that something like the mission statement would be, flexibly evolving. And I certainly was a little bit alarmed, and that brought me back to the notion that we have discussed in some ways of needing to have a kind of compact that's, more fixed than bylaws, because if the mission statement could change, even through a sort of ordinary bottom-up process, it seems to me that would be a fundamental accountability problem.
Okay. Thanks, Becky.
Can you put me in the queue, please? Cavus.
Sure. Cavus, you're next, so please go ahead.
Me? Cavus?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, you can, Cavus. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm very sorry. I think we do not touch the point which is essential to touch. We are talking so different things around the accountability and so many different things around the public interest, but we have not addressed what is the accountability. It's not difficult and complex. Accountability, in my view, is discharging and implementing decisions, responsibilities, condition which has been drawn up for ICANN to implement. Then we have to go to the term, what are those responsibilities, and so on and so forth. But I don't think that what I listened to this discussion, we are just talking on the margin, but we don't go to the heart of the question. And I don't understand how we could discuss the public interest on phone with conference call. This is an issue which requires careful face-to-face discussions, because we cannot follow the situations. And I think the way that we continue in discussions is entirely different the way that we did in ICG. In ICG, we had a subject, let us say accountability. There was a email opened on that, X, Y, Z, commenting to each other, and finally someone tried to put all of these comments together and try to reconcile and have a consolidated document agreed by everybody in relation with accountability. But it's about three meetings we are talking only. So, and there are so many things, I don't think that will take us to anywhere. I'm very sorry, I'm not pessimistic, but I don't see that we're going the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I don't know whether you have had the opportunity to review the document that was sent yesterday, which comprises a section titled What is Accountability, and which is based on our charter, but also our charter reference is the definition of accountability which comes from Net Mundial. And I think this is a good introduction to actually trying to wrap up this topic at this stage. Of course, this is just an initial discussion, and I hope we can have further edits and comments during the coming week on the document so that we can have another discussion next week recapping those. And, of course, the goal it would be to finalize this document, ensure we all have agreement on this, including the definition of accountability, when we meet in Frankfurt. And I think this addresses your concern regarding the working methods, Caboose, that we are having. This is really on the preparation path to Frankfurt that we're sharing this. There is Thomas has raised his hand, so Thomas, please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me? I'm on the phone.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, hello to everybody. Just a quick comment. I think, at least to some extent, what Caboose has said is very relevant. I think I'm also not 100% satisfied with what is there under what is accountability, and this is not so complex in my view either. Accountability is basically that it is made sure that I can do what the stakeholders, or you can also say all the internet users and the other stakeholders, want. Accountability is that you do what somebody wants. In democracies, you have several processes that have grown over the last decades and centuries. And we have a different model. We probably need to develop these models. But basically, accountability is to do what the stakeholders want and to make sure that there are procedures that maximize or minimize the risk that ICANN doesn't do what stakeholders want. And then we need to talk about the mechanisms that need to be put in place and the checks and balances and so on and so forth. But the fundamental thing is accountability is to do and not do what the people want. I think this is a very simple and fundamental observation that we might make at the beginning. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. I think what we're referring to here is really the purpose of accountability, that in your view, that the I concur with that very largely, that the purpose is that the organization is kept in line with the expectations from the stakeholders. I think this is perfectly valid. I have a small queue forming again, and after Alan, what I suggest would be to close the line. This is an initial discussion, so we'll have time later on to come back to those topics and elaborate. So, Ebrard?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with Thomas totally, but the devil is in the detail, as they say. How can anybody be accountable for the action of the IANA function manager towards a single CCTLD manager? There is no concept that I am aware of that is. So we basically need to probably split this up into separate issues. The CCTLDs are different from the rest. And I really haven't figured out how an organization that was incorporated in 97 can act on companies that run businesses since 1991 or even 1985 or 87. I really haven't figured that one out yet. Actually, I have, but it's not the right forum to discuss this.
Thanks, Ebert. As you know, I am, well aware of the status of CCTLDs. And what I suggest, because I share your concern that we should not overextend ICANN's accountability to something that's not within its mission. Please review the document and highlight any aspect where we would imply that this would be the case, and we'll certainly try to amend it because that was not the intent. Alan, you're next.
Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit about the public interest, and Steve Del Banco pointed us to an email from December, and I think it's an area we're going to have to work at. I'm one of those who don't believe we can define public interest, but we need examples, and we need ways of understanding what it means, because in many cases, the implications of decisions that ICANN makes are... There's many, many facets to them, and we're not looking at first-order effects. We're looking at second, third, fourth, tenth-order effects, and the public interest, I think, becomes very salient to understanding what the impact is going to be of some of the things on the various affected parties. So I just want to make sure that it is something on our list of things to tackle. And from the point of view of accountability, we need to understand it well enough so that we can put moderate, reasonable controls within ICANN that will address the public interest. Thank you.
Okay. I have Thomas Rickert now.
Yes, thank you very much, Mathieu. Regarding the public interest definition, I would be very curious to hear whether we as a group think we can accomplish the task of defining public interest. Reading what's been written on the email lists and listening to what's been said during the last calls makes me sort of pessimistic when it comes to a satisfactory definition for everyone. It appears like we have technical parameters, those that Steve mentioned. Also, we had human rights being mentioned in the chat. Bill Drake said that we should not dodge the issue. And certainly, we as co-chairs are far from willing to dodge the issue. The question is, what do we need an exact definition for? To what extent will it help us with our work, so that we can maybe better understand what we, how we have to approach this, and also whether we think it's actually feasible. If you look at how lawmaking has been done for centuries, lawmakers would not use individual examples, concrete examples, but they would use general statements that would be applicable to a multitude of circumstances, which is why I think it might be beneficial to lean on a general term such as public interest, but we might wish to add some examples to it. I think that to summarize, the point that I want to make is that we should not put resources into resolving something that has not been resolved for more than a decade, but I think that we should limit ourselves to what's essentially needed for our work and then find volunteers to take on that task.
Matthew, put me on
queue.
I have to talk. Thank you.
I suggest we wrap up this item of discussions at this stage. This is obviously only an initial discussion. I would encourage everyone, every colleague, to provide comments during the coming days on the list. The sending of the document provides the appropriate thread. And please preferably form these comments through edits in the documents. Proposed edits will be much welcome. That could be considered by the group, and alternates are perfectly okay at this stage as we progress towards a common view on this coping. After, we will certainly discuss this again next week, Then in Frankfurt during our meeting, you will remember this is one of the expected outcomes of the meeting. And we have taken good note of the public interest issue, the dynamic versus static issue, the CCTLD view of things, and of course, I hope we can elaborate a bit on those issues and maybe even spot others before next week, so we move on with this quickly and efficiently. I will now turn to the next item on the agenda and turn to Thomas,
who will lead this. If you allow me, before to go to the next item.
Yes, please. Who's on the line?
Can I make a comment on the public interest, general comments before you leaving this item?
Yes, and if you can keep it brief, Kavos, that would be perfect.
Excuse me?
Yes, provided that you can keep it brief.
Yeah, keep it brief. I suggest that it is extremely difficult to define public interest, extremely difficult. We should avoid to do that. Instead of that, we go to some example saying that anything that conflict, contradicts, endanger, and put what conflict and endanger of what. Instead of defining the public interest, because public interest for person A is different from public interest, no, sorry, group A, from public interest of group B, a country A, or area A. I suggest that we do not get to that because it will get nowhere. Not defining the public interest. Extremely difficult. End of my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavos. So I now turn to Thomas for the next item of our agenda on the high-level statement of principles. Please, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. And before we get to the high-level statement, let's first go to the engagement with the CWG and the ICANN board briefly, and I should add the ICG to that. Since our last call, we've reached out to all three to seek clarification on deadlines and process. As you will recall, we had a lot of discussion around the question whether, for example, the 15th of January deadline would be applicable for us as well. So we've reached out to Alyssa to ask, confirm the co-chair's understanding that that would not be the case. And she confirmed that in the meantime. So that question, I think, we can deem resolved. Secondly, we wrote an email to Bruce Tonkin, who is, as you know, the board liaison to this group, asking for clarification on deadlines and process as envisaged by the ICANN board. We have not at this stage, and we would not do that before consulting with you as a group, we have not included any of the questions that have been discussed on the mailing list, and I'll get back to those in a moment. But let me briefly conclude my report on our interaction with the board. So we've asked Bruce Tonkin to convey our question to the ICANN board to provide some clarity on deadlines and the process the board wishes to choose in dealing with the proposal coming from the naming community as well as the input from our side. And should there be an answer from the ICANN board that is satisfactory to the whole group, I think we can deem this procedural point closed. Should that not be the case, then we plan to put that item on the agenda for a face-to-face meeting that we're going to have, hopefully, during the Singapore meeting. We're currently planning this, so there's no definitive date or time slot yet, but there is the wish to have a face-to-face meeting between the ICANN board and our cross-community working group. And again, should the matter on process not be clarified by then, we will discuss that face-to-face. Thirdly, We have reached out to the CWG again. As you know, the co-chairs of the CWG and our group are holding regular conference calls to update each other on progress and need for information or requests from each other. And we have discussed with them the idea that we discussed during our last call, i.e. whether the CWG would find it beneficial if our group could issue and publish some preliminary high-level statements. And the response by the co-chairs, Lisa Fuhr and Jonathan Robinson, was that they would very much appreciate if we did so, because that might assist them in finalizing the proposal that they're going to submit to the ICANN board shortly. As you know, the CWG is going to have its intense work weekend during the next weekend, so time is of essence if we want to provide some feedback to them in a timely fashion, which is why we're going to further discuss this under agenda item number 5. But before we go there, let us briefly go back to the various questions that have been discussed on the mailing list, questions that were proposed to be asked to the ICANN board. There was a set of questions by Paul Rosenzweig, there was a set of questions by David Maha, and I think even by others, at least there have been a lot of contributors that have suggested amendments to questions or additional questions to the ICANN board. There was a vivid debate around these questions that were basically following the theme of reaching out to the ICANN board as to what or what they would not accept, so that we would get some guidance on what recommendations we could potentially work on. And I think that the way that this discussion went is good enough reason for having a quick discussion on this topic during this call, because I think that we as co-chairs think that there might be a certain risk with asking these questions to the ICANN board. You will remember that we had a lot of discussions around the question, you know, how flexible we can be with the recommendations that we're working on, and that we should not work on proposals that we for sure know would get the board's permission. In other words, that we should not ask the board a priori for permission on what we can actually work on. So my question to you would be whether you think that such questions would be would not be limiting us, and that we might be seen as having asked the board for permission as to what the solutions are. I think Jonathan Zook pointed out that we should not frame our recommendations along the lines of what the board agrees to, but along the needs of the community. So there's a certain risk with that. At the same time, it was our impression as co-chairs going through the communication that it might be premature for us to ask such specific questions to the ICANN board, because some of them have quite some level of detail in them in terms of concrete solutions. And I think, or we think, that we might, you know, if we want to ask questions, if we think asking questions at this stage is beneficial, we do think that we need to further elaborate them and have our discussion on these questions mature a little bit. But I'd like to open it up for questions and comments now. The first in the queue is Tijani.
Thank you, Thomas. Tijani speaking. As I said in my email, I don't think we should ask questions to the board. For the same reason you mentioned, Thomas, we have to work to do our job and not looking for what it will be acceptable or not acceptable. We have to do our job. We have to work as we see, as we understand our mission is. So this is the first point. Second point, any interaction for me with the board should be through the liaison. And any question we want to ask to the board, we have to ask it to Bruce, who is the liaison and who is normally and officially the one who can answer our questions on behalf of the board. So I think that we are perhaps losing our time, first, and second, we are limiting our field of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Next is Steve.
I will agree with Tijani with respect to what he just said, and I don't believe we should be asking the board for acceptance or permission in any formal way at this stage. The board can see all of the work we are doing because all of it is, all of our documentation and our discussions are in the public domain. And if the board felt that we were heading into a dangerous direction that they could not support, then I would welcome the board to weigh in on that. And don't forget, we have Sebastian, former board member. We have Bruce Tonkin on all of our calls. And they're very attentive to this. We have a lot of staff on the call who can interact with management. So if, in fact, this board had the audacity to say, you're heading into a direction that we can't support, I say, bring it on. Tell us now. But that is not, I believe, we are obligated to do. Our obligation, as Tijani said, is to evaluate what the community consensus is for accountability mechanisms that are necessary for the transition of the IANA contract. We need to develop those. The board can weigh in. But if the entire community had consensus around new mechanisms, things like Becky Burr has described, and the board alone said that they could not support it, then I'm quite confident that the Commerce Department will stand with the community and impose them on the board. I hope it doesn't come to that, and I strongly believe the board would never try to bring on a confrontation like that. But Thomas and Matthew, I would appreciate a poll, for instance, if you were to poll the folks on this call about which members actually believe we should seek permission or seek acceptance at this point from the board. And I'm pretty confident that you're not going to get too many votes.
Thank you very much for that, Steve. Can I ask if there... sorry. There, yes, it will be your...
My turn, let me discuss. Yeah.
Will do, Kabus. Noted. Next in the queue is Alan.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give the one reason I have for a counter to what Steve just said. The CWG stewardship group is on a very tight timeline, and there is a dispute at the moment, not a dispute, a difference of opinion at the moment, whether, and I'll use terms I don't like, but they're in vogue, the internal to ICANN solution can work because there are those who believe there is no way that we can achieve accountability within ICANN. And if there were a way to get some nod of the head from the board, as opposed to just no objection, which is what Steve was saying, I think that would be very useful in trying to firm up the directions that the CWG accountability can go. So I think it would be useful to have some confirmation from the board. And Bruce has already given, you know, we've seen similar things in the chat, but perhaps on a more formal level, that the board, this board is amenable to changes of the type we're talking about. Now, the fact that they're not amenable, that if they were to come back and say no, that doesn't mean that they would hold sway with that. But if they were to say, yes, we are amenable, without being specific, I think that would help the CWG stewardship group go forward in ways that without it, I think there's a brick wall. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I have a follow-up question for you. And let me be very clear that there's no way the intention that we're going to do work behind closed doors. Everything we're doing is publicly available. And if I remember correctly, the board has even gone public stating that they want to avoid friction in the last minute by engaging early. So I'm quite confident that more board members than Bruce Tonkin as our liaison are closely following our discussion, and I trust that they would speak up in case we're doing something that they are completely objecting to. So my follow-up question to you in concrete terms is, do you think that the questions that have been circulated on the mailing list are the questions that you would ask, or are you looking for other mechanisms of liaising more closely?
I don't believe, it's Alan speaking, I don't believe I said we should ask questions. I said an indication from the board. No, I do not believe the questions that we have circulated on the mailing list are the appropriate ones. I was speaking as much for the board members who are listening as for the rest of this group. So I'm saying an indication from the board that they are amenable would be something that would be very useful to this process. I did not say to ask them specific targeted questions.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sure that Bruce will convey that to his board colleagues. I see Steve has raised his hand, but before that, we go to Kavus, please.
Thank you, Thomas. I don't know how many times I have to give analytical examples of what we are doing. We are dealing with accountability, a group which would have unbiased, free line of thinking without asking which condition you accept, which terms you accept, which accountability you accept, which you do not accept. We should not subordinate ourselves to the ICANN. It seems that ICANN, which is in a similarity and executive entity, we as a legislative entity ask the executive entity what type of law you would like that we establish. We should not do that. We should establish what we should establish. We should draft and we should come up and agree on what is required for accountability. We leave it to the board. If they don't agree with that, they should say don't agree with that. They give the reason and they are faced first with us, that they have to convince us why, and second, with the public, why they are opposing to that. I don't think that we should limit ourselves. We should not have any bias from anything. We have a liaison from ICANN. Bruce is a very intelligent person and very, very active. He will be in line with whatever we're discussing. He could visit with the board and bring the feedback. But I do not agree to make any questions whatsoever in any term to the ICANN. What do you wish that we have to do, and what do you wish that we do not do? I am not in favor of that. I sent many, many emails and spent hours during the first night and the second night of the new year when everybody was on holiday, but I was working up to midnight. Please kindly consider I cannot agree with this sort of the biasing arrangement. We should be free, and we should think freely, without any interference, without any bias, and we should do whatever we agreed ICCWG as the terms, conditions, and the scope of accountability. We should devise that, send it to the board. If they don't agree with that, they give the reasons. They might have the possibility to come back to us. We negotiate with each other, correct that something. If we don't agree, our points remain as it is, their points remain as a comment. And at the end, it is public community that comment on that. At the last thing is the NTIA. Please do not forget that. NTIA says that unless the accountability issue is properly resolved, there should be no transition at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. And just in terms of procedure, as co-chairs, we certainly monitor the communication on the mailing list. And this was one of the subjects that was quite controversially debated, which is why we put it on the agenda for this call. But it looks like we're arguing to agree, which is why I would like to close the queue on this topic after Steve. Steve, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Thomas. I do believe we've split this discussion into two threads. One thread is, I believe, a black and white question of should we be asking permission or acceptance from the board. I'm confident no one in this call will suggest that we should at this point. On the other hand, Alan brings up the genuine dilemma that the CWG on IANA transition is having right now. And if you read what the board said a little over a week ago, they took a look at the proposal for the IANA naming related functions transition, and they took issue with the idea of establishing a new independent entity. What do they call it? Contract Co. And that caused a bit of overlap into the CCWG, our group, because if in fact there are elements of redress and review that our group will come up with, if there are mechanisms our group comes up with, then those mechanisms may be able to scratch the itch or solve the problem that Contract Co. was being designed for. So I appreciate their dilemma that they have a conflict, and I appreciate that, Alan, but that in no way forces us to suddenly seek the permission or acceptance of ICANN's board at this stage. We haven't formulated our consensus positions yet. And what I had suggested, Alan, on a previous call is that let's make available to the CWG, maybe at a chair-to-chair level, make available all of these discussions. We can summarize it for them to show that, yes, indeed, we are considering mechanisms that would enable the affected users of the IANA root and naming function to appeal to an independent review panel or decision-making body that could seek redress if ICANN, the contractor, was screwing up its conduct of the IANA naming functions contract. So we have mechanisms. We're working on them. They're no way are they fully baked yet, but that's enough of a reply to the CWG. It's almost as if we're saying, stay tuned, but we're not ready yet. We just started on our work. And, you know, with that, Thomas, I mean, I strongly invite the chairs to consider asking if anybody on this entire working group believes you should seek permission or acceptance at this point. And if the answer is no, you can dismiss this with a clean conscience and move on.
Thank you. And with that encouragement, I'd like to ask whether there are any objections to not asking any questions at this stage. I see Alan's hand is up. Please.
Thank you, Thomas. Just to be clear, I was not, have not, and would not suggest that we ask for permission from the board. I would fight that tooth and nail as much as I think Steve would. All I was saying is if we were to get a message from the board saying the kinds of things we're talking about, they are amenable to it, I think it would help the other part of what's going on right now. That is very different from asking them, please, sir, may I? Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So I think that for the time being, at least, we will not ask any questions. I think Bruce has well noted that our group is encouraging not only himself, we do know that he's very attentive to what this group does, but also other board members to follow closely what we're doing. And certainly we have the flexibility at any time get back to the board and test the waters with what we're doing to get some feedback. And I think Steve's message also provides a very smooth segue into agenda item number 5, which is tagged high-level statement that goes back to the discussion that we started last week on some high-level statements that we could publish. And we were actually thinking of publishing these as co-chairs on behalf of this group, if you agree, so that those who are working on proposals can take them into account when finalizing their proposals. And we would certainly send them directly by email to Lisa Fuhr and Jonathan Robinson. What you see in the Adobe now is a statement that we put together with the best intentions to reflect the current status of the discussions inside our group. I know that you haven't seen it. We're not going to adopt it in any sort of fashion during today's call, but I think we need to do so within the next 48 hours so that it can be submitted to the CWG before they start their intense work weekend. Usually, I think it's very bad practice to read out things that can be read by everybody individually, but I think that, to provide a basis for our discussion, I will take the liberty to read it out for you. The below high-level statement might be valuable to all groups or individuals working on proposals to be submitted to the ICG, which is why they are not only responded to the CWG stewardship, but published as a status update by the CCWG accountability. One, the CCWG accountability noted that a significant number of contributions during the public comments regarding accountability called for the implementation of independent mechanisms enabling to review and, where appropriate, regress decisions from the ICANN Board of Directors. It was often noted that these mechanisms should be in place or committed to before the IANA transition takes place. The accountability CCWG is therefore considering to address this need in its workstream 1. Unless the CWG specifies otherwise, decisions that are directly related to IANA functions within shall be within the remit of such mechanism. Other issues which were brought up by many and could qualify for being in the remit of such mechanisms were decisions broadening or altering ICANN's mandate, as well as recalling one or multiple board members. Please note that the legal nature, composition, and specific mandate of this mechanism is yet to be determined. Two, the CCWG accountability acknowledges the expectation for certain internal and or external review and or appeals processes to be implemented or committed to prior to the transition and will consider these as part of its work. Three, further, we would like to assure you that the CCWG output will adhere to the following considerations. Any proposal will address the concern on to whom should ICANN be held accountable. Any proposal will address the concern on what should ICANN be held accountable for. Any proposal will address the concern on how ICANN or its board of directors should be held accountable. We hope this broad but clear roadmap helps the CWG complement their work and that we continue to work on a coordinated, in a coordinated fashion. Please note that these statements reflect the current status of deliberations of the CCWG accountability and might be subject to change for the reasons mentioned above and further from input from the community. Actually, the last sentence goes back to a covering note where we say that these high-level statements might be subject to changes because of our ongoing deliberations as well as external factors such as changes to the proposals by the naming community. So I know that this is new to you, but maybe some of you still have some comments to make. Ideally, we would use this as the basis for making amendments or other contributions to get some high-level statements put together. Steve.
I fully support the text that you guys have come up with. It looks very familiar because I think it's what we've discussed on the last three calls. I have only this question. For those on the phone who are part of the CWG, I would ask you to read this paragraph one that Thomas has in front of you and see if it answers the question that's nagging at you, the dilemma about timing and contract co that is nagging the CWG IANA and a naming function. In other words, we intend for this answer to give some guidance to the CWG. But if there's members on the call of the CWG who don't see the clarity that they're looking for, this is your opportunity to sharpen our point. We are letting you know that we're working on mechanisms that will allow the review and redress of decisions. But I want you to tell us whether you think this gives you the information you need to understand whether you still have to have an independent contract co, or can you lean on these new mechanisms to accomplish what it is you wanted to accomplish when you had to have an independent contract code. And I look forward to answers from Greg, Alan, and others on Keith Drasik, others on the call who are part of the CWG. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Greg. Greg, you might be on mute.
Put me on the record also for the queue when it is my turn. I want to comment on your question.
Thank you, Caboose. Noted. Greg Chapman, it's your turn.
Can I talk?
No, Kavos, it's Greg Shatton's turn at the moment. Greg, we can't hear you. Can you indicate whether you are having audio issues? Are you trying to speak?
Sorry about that. I'm off mute now.
Greg.
Yes, thanks very much. I have to say that, and so I'm speaking obviously only for myself and not for the CWG as a whole or any other body, but this, you know, really does nothing, I think, to kind of solve the present concerns that I have. These are all, and I guess at this point, in essence, they have to be very high-level statements. It's basically, it's not much more than trust us. But the problem, that we all have, both groups have, is what will ultimately be accomplished and not what might be desired. And more particularly, there's just no substance here other than saying that we're going to have a magic mechanism that might be helpful. So it's the sentiments are in the right place, but I just don't know what one could do with this. I mean, we could say this to ourselves. We don't need, we could have, within our remit to come up with accountability mechanisms for IANA operational failure or the straying of IANA operations specifically. So it's not outside our the CWG's capacity to create mechanisms like this. And it's just the question is whether there's any, maybe in the sense it goes back to what Alan says, is there any hope that this is, that there's any credible results coming out of this that would allow for these internal mechanisms to produce the results that the contract code was created to produce. And I wish that there was some sort of magic statement that could make us feel confident that we could just leave it all in the hands of the CCWG and that somehow ICANN would internally have the structures that would allow for the level of accountability and the results that that we need, that we see the need for. I just don't know that this statement really does anything concrete in that way. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And before I move to Kavos, let me briefly respond to that. We are certainly in the predicament that we do not have anything specific to offer because our work is still at the very beginning. At the same time, if you look at the proposed language, what we're saying is that the group will most likely or will have an oversight mechanism over the ICANN board. So the first message is loud and clear that the CWG does not need to be afraid of us coming up with a proposal whereby we leave the board just controlling itself. So there will be the possibility to turn over board decisions. And what we're also saying is that this mechanism of whatever legal nature can have items in its remit that can be deployed by the naming community. So they can use this mechanism to put the concerns they have onto their list. So we can, but with this statement, we're opening the door for enabling a an accountability ecosystem, if you wish, that would not cause friction between the proposal by the CWG and the CCWG. And we could add other items to the remit of that mechanism as well. And the most urgent ones which we've identified have been listed here. So this suggestion, that was at least our hope, would be able to assist the CWG in assuring them that we will come up with something that will address their concern as well, i.e., that would ensure that the ICANN board will not be the ultimate decider on things that might be adversely affecting them. It would still have the flexibility to work with the internal as well as the external solution, i.e. keeping it inside ICANN or elsewhere, but we would have a mechanism that would not cause friction. So that's just a very high-level attempt to respond to your concern, Greg. I'm not sure whether I succeeded, but let's move to Kavuz. And Greg, should you have any further questions to that, please do get back into the queue. Kavuz.
Yes, Thomas. My question is that perhaps you could kindly direct me. One, what is the urgency of this high-level statement? Couldn't we wait until 18th of January that we could face-to-face finalize that, because it is very sensitive, it's very important, and could have good effect and could have the adverse effect? This is the urgency. The second one, is this high-level statement is a very brief summary of what we have done so far, what we are thinking to do now, and what we plan to do in future in the very, very summary, brief arrangement. Is that my understanding correct? If not, what is the purpose of this high-level statement? I'm sure it is not an RFP. We are not requesting any proposals on that. Or you expect some reflection from the community based on each item that you put. The lesser is better, not to have too many items, and the more general is better. But the first question is that, couldn't we wait until we get together in Frankfurt and we finalize that? Thank you.
Kavuz, the answer is quite easy. The CWG is going to have an intense work weekend, the next weekend, and there will likely... almost finalized their proposal by then. So they have the opportunity to work very intensely on the proposal, and they would very much appreciate to get feedback from our group before they start this intense work weekend. That's the reason why we're trying to be as quickly as possible. But we can certainly retable that for the Frankfurt meeting, because I think that such high-level statements are also very valuable for this group to sharpen their minds for prioritizing the issues and shaping the next steps that we're conducting. Let's move to Martin.
Just one addition to your question. Could we add the word initial thought on that? Put the door open that we further complement that. Because it is urgently required for this weekend, you put initial thought or something that give the nature of that. It is not affirmative or definitive. It is initial thought on that, and I agree with you, but in that case, it should be very simple and should be very, very general.
Yes, we have such such clarification at the end of the statement. So thanks for that, Kavuz, and we can now move to Martin.
Thanks very much, Thomas. It's Martin Boyle here. Yeah, like Greg, I'm not speaking for the CWG, but I think a little bit like Greg, I have some sort of general concerns in spite of your explanation about how this might work to meet the concept of separability that the CWG came up with. And there was a proposal, it came from the Australian Domain Name Registry, that some form of golden bylaw process might be an option. And that seems to me to go one step beyond the idea that is in this statement, in that you go for something that is quite a clear mechanism, something that would actually have teeth and clarity on what the board should do and what it should not do, and also that would then obviously have to have some form of a redress built into the mechanism. Now, that seems to me to be quite a, at least an order of magnitude stronger than the sort of words that you've put, that we've got in place at the moment. So just to sort of recap, I think we just need to have really something that is very robust, that cannot be ignored, that cannot be overturned by the board, and that if the board refuses to do what the bylaws require it to do, would allow the community to put into place the development towards a contract company. And if we can find that, then I think we can meet the community working group's concern about separability and also ensure that the board is accountable under very clear definitions to the community. Thanks.
Martin, quick follow-up question, but it was my impression that we could even subsidize the Australian approach, as you call it, under this general statement that we have, because we're just talking about a mechanism. We're not saying that it's a legal entity, nor do we say that a new body. It can also be language such as these golden bylaws. In other words,
yeah,
my question to you is there a way we could potentially tweak this proposal or work on an alternative proposal, a short notice, that would not be too prescriptive for our future work, be of assistance to the CWG, and is still still hopefully gets the consensus of this whole group? Because I think the more prescriptive we are, the lesser the chances that this group will support it.
Yes, thanks, Thomas. Martin Boyle again. Yeah, I see the dilemma, but as I said earlier, I think we need to be able to put into place something that is really quite robust enough that the board cannot just ignore it with impunity, that if they are not meeting the terms of bylaws, and this is where I have problems with the wording as it is. It just seems to me to be too weak to allow the redress to be done. The idea that you should turn around and go through an assessment and then some sort of redress process seems to me to be not quite right. I would like to see something very much more clearly stated in the bylaws that actually does require the board to take this seriously and not just sort of say, well, if we ignore it, it doesn't matter, it'll just go away.
Thanks, Martin. I think, you know, if we say that we're seeking mechanisms that can turn over board decisions, we mean it, right? So I think that builds in that this process needs to be robust enough for the board not to be able to turn it back the next day. Greg, please.
Hi, thank you. I would say that what Martin said, essentially, putting aside the golden bylaw point for the moment, that both what's in this document and what Martin stated are essentially two versions of the problem statement that is in front of both working groups, and that neither one is really any statement about a solution. I think these are desirable parameters for the problem statement, but they don't provide any solution. I did look into the Golden Bylaw suggestion when it was made on our list. I don't know if I actually responded, but Golden Bylaws seem to me, A, to be usually only granted to governments when, in the case of privatization, and that not, I've not seen them in any other circumstance. I've also only seen them in a few jurisdictions, and they seem to have been challenged successfully in those jurisdictions as well. So as a solution goes, it's about as cooked as a raw egg. And I think that's unfortunately the problem with this. I have no doubt that either group could come up with a solution that could meet the answers to this problem statement. But right now you're asking me to close my eyes and step through an elevator door, and you're assuring me that by the time my foot hits the ground, I will not fall to the bottom of the shaft. I just can't take that chance, personally. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I'm conscious of time, so we need to move to the next agenda item shortly. Nonetheless, I think we should close this by agreeing on some next steps. I understand that Martin and Greg don't find that statement helpful. I think there's a difference between something potentially not being helpful and something not being prudent to do. So it was our understanding that the co-chairs of the CWG would welcome a message from our group. So my question to this group is whether there's any objection to send this as a response to the naming community. Because as Steve said, I'm afraid this is the best we can come up with at this stage, and I think if you take a close look at it, there is some substance in it. It's certainly not satisfactory for us that we can't provide you with something that you're happier with, but I think in the absence of a more elaborate proposal, I think we can give a sign of life with what we have. Greg, I'm not sure whether that's an old or a new hand.
If I could just follow very briefly on what you've said, I don't think it's, I think it is useful to have this state, even if it's just to show that this is kind of where you're at in the process, and speak it. We'll take it from there. So I don't think it's troublesome. And it's troublesome on one level, but as I think Matthew said in the chat, our timelines are poorly aligned. And there's nothing much we can do about that other than lock this entire group in a room and tell them they can't come out until they come up with a solution by working 24/7. That's just never going to happen. So I support the... I support the effort, even with everything that I said about what the result of it might be. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. That's encouraging. So let me ask again whether there's any objection to us sending this. I don't read or...
To invite what? To invite the CWG co-chairs to come to our meeting? What is the question? Sorry, I missed that because of the quality of the telephone line.
My question to the group was whether there is any objection to us sending these high-level statements to the to the CWG leadership. And Kavuz, I know that you're not in the Adobe. I'm just testing the waters with this group now in the call, but we will not submit before another 48 hours, so that everybody has the chance to look at it. But it looks like there is no objection to send it, even though there are some who say it's of limited value. But so be it. With that, I'd like to close this agenda item. We will publish the statement on our mailing list for your further comments. And I suggest that we now move to the next agenda item, which is the update on the face-to-face meeting Frankfurt preparations, and for that I'll hand back over to Leon.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I'm mindful of the time as well, so I'll try to keep it really, really short. As we all know, we have our face-to-face meeting coming in on the 19th and 20th of January, and I would like to just pose a reminder that anyone that would like to attend in person to the face-to-face meeting has a deadline to confirm his or her attendance on January the 7th, that is tomorrow. So far, there were 30 meetings in the wiki plus 5 more that were received this morning to make it up to a total of 37 in-person attendance to the face-to-face meeting. While the expected outcomes of this face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt would be, of course, to finalize the document with regards to Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, and hopefully agree to begin work on Workstream 1. That would be an extraordinary outcome if we would agree on beginning to work on Workstream 1. We would also expect to have a finalized version of the definition and scope document that Matthew just sent out to the list, and of course review the proposed timeline. Those would be the key facts about the expected outcomes on our face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt, and I would like to now turn to Matthew and Barry to review the timeline, the timeline, the proposed timeline.
Is Alan's hand an old hand? Just to make sure we're not forgetting a comment.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that hand. Alan, do you have your hand up? Could you please speak up?
Sorry, I was just going to ask the question of, do we know when the travel process of allowing us to make travel reservations will be starting?
I don't know if Grace could help us answer that call. I see her hand up, so Grace, could you please go ahead?
Thank you, Leon. This is Grace Abu-Hamid for the record. So just to let you all know, the staff returned to work yesterday on January 5th, so I expect that you'll hear as soon as possible, but you know, there's a lot of catching up to do, and they have the names. Their ICANN Constituency Travel is working hard, but I would give a few days for the group to get together and start sending out the information.
Thank you very much, Grace. I see Tijani's hand up. Tijani, go ahead, please.
Yes, Leon. I would like to say that I already received the mail from Constituency Travel. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. So if no one has any further comments on the expected outcomes of our face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt, I'd like to turn now to the next agenda item, to Matthew and Barry, please.
Thank you, Leon. Conscious of time as well, so we'll try to keep it brief. You will remember we have approved, after a couple of meetings, an overall timeline with large-scale steps, and Barry Cobb, who is supporting our group, has been working at populating a project plan with these items and topics. And I'd like to turn to Barry for a very quick overview of this document, which will be shared on the list for comments very shortly. Of course, the project plan is not always easy. Barry, can you give us a very quick recap of what this document comprehends?
Yes, thank you, Matthew. This is Barry Cobb for the transcript. I sent out to the CCWG mailing list yesterday a PDF version of the proposed project plan that we have put together. This is mostly largely based on the overall plan that was reviewed the past few meetings, the PowerPoint that described the high-level work tasks. I'm just briefly going to run through this plan. If there are any questions or concerns about duration or some of our target dates, we can take that to the list. As to what Leon was saying, I'm hopeful that the expectations that are accomplished out of the Frankfurt meeting will allow us to nail down the exact target dates and all of the tasks that are required for us from Workstream 1 and 2. But in short, the project plan is kind of divided into five main areas. The first section being the chartering exercise that's already occurred and closed out. The secondary section that begins on row 13 is mostly for just documentation purposes and somewhat scheduling that allows us to list out the CCWG calls and the face-to-face sessions. You'll note that we've got the Frankfurt meeting, face-to-face meeting documented, as well as our sessions that will occur in Singapore. Tentatively, we have one scheduled approximately the beginning of April, as well as taking us into the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires in June. I will point to you that this is only a tentative list of these calls, and mostly focuses around the Workstream 1 work effort. As we get closer to May, June timeframe and some better visibility when Workstream 2 might start, we'll begin to populate those calls from there. The substance of our work is basically the definitions of Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 from the four work areas that were defined, and that begins on row 45, all the way to row 69, which is work in progress. At this point, I don't have percent completions attributed to each of the work areas yet. That will be updated in the next section, as well as any other changes to the plan that will better reflect what we've accomplished to date. Then from there, basically rows 69 through 94 will consist of our high-level work plan that we'd like to accomplish for Workstream 1, and essentially the same tasks are also replicated for Workstream 2. At this point in time, Workstream 2 has greater duration and a greater delivery date under the assumption that more of the accountability mechanisms will be accomplished through Workstream 2. Again, we won't have this clear definition until we do have those two areas defined. The last thing that I'll point out to you right now is within Workstream 1, our original presentation of a high-level timeline had us targeting for the end of June to submit the Workstream 1 proposal to the ICANN board. This plan currently reflects that date to be the beginning of August, and this is due to the public comment periods that we have loaded in here now based on the new public comment rules, which is essentially a minimum of 40 days. There is some flexibility there that we can discuss at a later time. So I just wanted to draw the group's attention to mostly that the delivery date from this plan is a little bit further than what we had originally targeted. There is some slack built into some of the duration, and as we start to define the Workstream 1, Workstream 2 activities, we can probably relax on some of the some of the slack built in and still hopefully target for a June timeframe. So if any of the members do have any suggestions for additional tasks that may be necessary in here, please send them to myself or into the list, and I'll be glad to help incorporate them. Matu and I will be also working through this in much more detail, and it will be sent on a weekly basis with the agenda to keep members or to keep the CCWG informed of the activities and what we've accomplished to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. So really, I will encourage everyone to comment and provide additional inputs, but also you will have collected that there are two, one of the aspects we have to work on still is how to collect community feedback at various stages of our proposals without shifting the deadlines too much. And we'll certainly have to be a little bit creative here about how we manage to get various feedbacks without going through too lengthy public comments. Otherwise, we will derail the overall timeline. And I'd also like to emphasize that we will certainly have at least another face-to-face meeting to plan to finalize our Workstream 1 proposals. It's currently in the plan around April, but it's very early to say exactly a precise date, but it's something to that we have called attention on, especially on the support staff, because it's going to be a little bit of logistics. I see Bruce has his hand raised. So please, Bruce. Bruce, you may be on mute.
Yes, I am on mute. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep. I'm just wondering, just with respect to planning Singapore, I guess there's two objectives. One is to meet within the group in face-to-face meetings, but presumably there's also some degree of outreach. For example, if you wanted to have a session between the group and the ICANN board or wanted to have some sort of public session. So just would be useful because, you know, the Singapore meeting is, you know, literally just a month away now, that, you know, we start fleshing out the timetable in a bit more detail for Singapore.
Thanks. That's Singapore meeting agenda is being worked out with the ICANN meetings team. There's a lot of different tracks to coordinate, and we are hopeful we can provide more clarity in the next few days or weeks, at least quite early on. We've placed a number of requests for work time between our group, but also with the board and with the community, and we hope to be able to provide you with an update very soon on that.
Thank you.
We're approaching the top of the hour. I will move to the next agenda item. I am reluctant to move too quickly on this update from Work Area 4, which was tasked to work on a list of contingencies. I will just recap things because Eric Bruner-Williams has sent his apologies for not being able to participate to this call. But he sent on the list a document with a list of contingencies, and it is now on your screen. So please just let me remind you of the importance of that. This is, we as a group are expected to provide a detailed description of how our proposals provide an adequate level of resistance to contingencies. This is part of our charter. And so we need this to structure our work and to stress test the various scenarios we'll come up with. So it's absolutely essential that we have this discussion about what are the main scenarios that we will consider. We cannot afford to have 100. We need to focus on the main ones. And that's the goal of this deliverable from Work Area 4. You will see that there's an interesting effort to provide scenarios both with an event, a threat, and its consequence. And, of course, it's going to be up to us to address how we would have mitigation measures after that once we come up with our scenario. And I think there's a good recap on the list of 10 contingencies of various aspects. It's certainly something that will be up for comment in the coming week, and hopefully by next week we can have a more substantive discussion on the list. Just making sure that everyone is clear about the goal of this particular exercise or needs clarifications. And if there are not, then I will suggest that comments are made on the list and provided to Eric as well as Work Area 4 for consideration before next week. If that is agreeable to everyone, and I think I will turn to Lee Yun for any other business.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Well, in any other business, I would like to update the group on the correspondence that the coaches have had with Samantha Eisner regarding the legal advice for the CCWG. As you are aware, this has been a concern raised by many of the members and participants of this working group, and we reached out to Samantha Eisner in order to explore ways of having this legal advice available, and we proposed that, for instance, we had her established as a liaison with the legal department of ICANN, and of course not ruling out the possibility to get an independent law firm paid by ICANN that would advise on questions that could raise within the working group. And well, this was just sent out a couple of days ago, and well, Samantha agreed to perform as a liaison between ICANN Legal and the working group. And of course, if there would be a need to get independent legal advice, that is something that she would help the group to accomplish this task. So this is an update on any other business. And I would like to call for anyone else that has any other business to bring up. We are just past the top of the hour, so if there is no one else bringing any other business up, I would then go to the next agenda item, which is the closing remarks. And, of course, I would like to remind you on the different action items. We need to make a recap. The coaches will need to do a recap of Workstream 1 on Workstream 2 items on the mailing list and review for approval at our next meeting. We need to comment. We encourage comments from all colleagues on the definition and scoping document that Matthew sent out. And, well, we would be keeping an eye on any comments and suggestions you have to further enrich this document. With regards to the high-level statement, this will be published to the list for further comment, and we, of course, encourage everyone that has a comment on this high-level statement to do so before the next 48 hours so we can send this in time to the CWG chairs. We remind you of confirming your attendance to the face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt if you haven't done so. And, well, of course, reviewing the timeline and making your comments to it so we can further enrich the document as well. I don't know if I'm missing anything or anyone would like to bring up something else. Okay. Well, then, I'd like to thank everyone for attending this call, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.